We're live and we're local. This is a Juno Afternoon on Wednesday, November 15th, 2017. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. On today's show, we'll talk with Ian Nico from Southeast Senior Services about Family Caregiver Education Series. We'll get the details about the Buddhist film series playing at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. We'll talk with Bill Merck about the next upcoming Poetry Slam this Friday. Emily McDaniel and Charlie Harrington will be here to talk about the screening of Warren Miller's movie Line of Descent. And Brenda Weaver from Hearthside Books will be here to highlight their 10th annual holiday event. Those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more right here on a Juno afternoon. Taking a look at weather, sunny with a high near 31, and tonight clear with a low around 24. National Native News is next.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Health advocates from Indian country discussed climate change at the recent American Public Health Association conference in Atlanta. Native people shared how tribal communities are being impacted. Melinda Tuhus reports.
April Taylor is a sustainability scientist for the Chickasaw Nation in Oklahoma. Taylor works with 68 tribes across New Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma, and Louisiana on issues such as tribal water rights, sea level rise, flooding, droughts, and wildfires. She says another problem is the changing calendar for the appearance of different species, including those that tribal nations rely on for food or cultural uses.
And there's an indigenous phenology network, and phenology is basically the timing of the seasons and when things change. And so they're seeing some of those changes happening, you know, months earlier. And so they're trying to figure out if that what that means for their culture, for the communities. Do we change the ceremony?
Michael Brubaker works for the Alaska Native Health Consortium. Brubaker says the 374 residents of Kivalina on an island in the far north of Alaska are facing threats from climate change. Their village is eroding and relocation efforts are underway.
Typically in winter, the community is frozen in, protecting the village from winter storm surge. However, in recent years, the freeze-up has been delayed or has not occurred at all. This exposes the coastline to extreme storm events.
Brubaker says relocation will cost an estimated $1 million per household, and in the meantime, residents plan to build a rock barrier to provide a modicum of protection and take other steps to promote resiliency. The conference attracted 12,000 public health professionals and students, mostly from the U.S., but also from 40 other countries. For National Native News, I'm Melinda Tuhus.
A U.S. Army combat veteran in South Dakota is training shelter dogs to act as service animals for veterans who suffer with post-traumatic stress disorder. As Jim Kent reports, Super Dogs for Superheroes also includes goals to reach Native American veterans.
Becky Flanagan was an ammunition specialist during the first Gulf War and came home with PTSD. She's created an organization to match dogs in need of a home with veterans like herself in need of emotional support. Flanagan's own dog, Molly, is the reason she was able to adjust from the after effects of combat and get a job.
When you have PTSD, crowds can be very difficult, and a dog can be trained to do things that make you think about where you are, so that if you are in a flashback, they can snap you out of it.
And since the Veterans Administration doesn't provide or pay for PTSD service dogs, having an organization like Flanagan's is a huge plus for those who couldn't otherwise afford it. Maria Ramos is Lakota from the Pine Ridge Reservation. The retired physician's assistant and former U.S. Army nurse helps Flanagan with her training program. Ramos says there are many Native veterans, especially those who served in Vietnam, who need help.
Dogs are really understanding, I think, and they help people because then you have to care about something else.
The bottom line, says Becky Flanagan, is that pairing a service dog with a veteran suffering with PTSD is good for everyone involved, the veteran, his or her family, and their community. I'm Jim Kent.
The Washington Post reports Gavin Clarkson, a Trump administration appointee in the Bureau of Indian Affairs, resigned this week. The resignation comes after a recent scathing report on a failed loan guarantee program, which Clarkson had ties to. Clarkson was appointed to serve as Deputy Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs in June with expertise in economic development and finances. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by Drumbeat Indian Arts, offering authentic Native American recordings and religious herbs, craft supplies, books, and a wide selection of Pendleton blankets. Holiday delivery on orders placed at drumbeatindianarts.com by December 15th. Support provided by Freedom Lodge. Is historical trauma a concern in your community? You can join our Historical Trauma Master Class beginning February 2018. Registration deadline is December 1 at freedomlodge.org.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.
You're tuned into a Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. My first guest today is Ian Nico from Southeast Senior Services. Welcome to the show, Ian.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. My first question for you is very general. What role does Southeast Senior Services play in our community?
Well, Southeast Senior Services plays a lot of different roles in this community. First of all, it is a division of Catholic Community Services. And just to talk a little bit about that, in that division, we have Children and Family Services, Hospice and Home Care Juno, and then Southeast Senior Services. So we're kind of one-third of the equation for Catholic Community Services. Southeast Senior Services offers door-to-door transportation to seniors with disabilities. You've probably heard of Caravan or seen these rides going around town.
Sure.
They offer case management and service coordination. So we have a couple case managers on staff that help seniors. We have the Abridged Adult Daycare Center, folks may know about, and they provide really neat activities in a wonderful environment. And so loved ones can maybe drop off their senior, go to work, do something, and then the senior can hang out there at the adult day program, and they do exercise, food, games, all kinds of things.
It's a wide array of services.
Yes, it is.
And sounds like, and very vital too. Mm-hmm. November is National Family Caregiver Month. So what does being a caregiver entail?
Yeah, so that's really what's going on and why I'm here this time is National Caregiver Awareness Month. And for that month, we're given a caregiver education series. So Southeast Senior Services, we consider a caregiver, we focus on unpaid family caregivers. So that would be, you know, a son or a daughter maybe taking care of mom or dad or checking in on them once, twice a week. We have really minimum qualifications, but there's some involvement with the senior, and it's not a paid position. So we would consider that person a caregiver. And so we aim our services towards that person, and these talks are geared towards those folks as well.
It sounds like you're providing them with a lot of really good resources.
Yeah,
for someone who doesn't do it as a profession and may not receive any formal training.
Yeah, so we have... And for that, we have a resource library. We have a lending library at our center up on 6th Street there. We have caregiver support grants we offer, which can be respite, chore, or patient care assistance. And that can range from having somebody coming in and helping out with the dishes to helping somebody bathe, to get their clothes on, to taking them out for their medication appointment, to go for a ride down Thane, come back. Could be anything like that. And we also connect folks with resources all through the Southeast. So when anybody has a question about a senior, about maybe should we be looking at higher level of care? Should we be, you know, here's my situation. How can you help me? We will connect people with resources and we'll throughout the Southeast, throughout Alaska, really.
Your title is Family Caregiver Support Advocate. Are those some of the things that you do as part of your job?
Yeah, that's my title, Family Caregiver Support Advocate. So all those things are part of my job. And also, in addition to those things, we offer a monthly caregiver support phone group. So I offer that monthly. And also one-on-one emotional support. So folks can call in anytime. If they call the main number, they'll usually get me and... we offer support, direction, guidance, kind of a one-stop shop to get started on that journey.
I imagine it can be intense at times and rewarding at other times.
It is. Generally, people, there's kind of a stereotype that caregiving is considered just strictly traumatic and difficult, and everybody's going to suffer who does it. But that's not the case. Most people do feel that caregiving is very beneficial, and it's they feel a sense of reward in giving back, sometimes to mom or dad or to a relative. And it can be a very rewarding experience, too.
You're here today to talk about the upcoming presentations of the Family Caregiver Education Series. And you were here before to talk about the first two. And so these are on November 21st and November 28th. They're the third and the fourth in the series. What can you tell us about these talks?
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. So we are on the last two talks of our four-talk series. And this talk coming up next Tuesday, November 21st, is put on by Catherine Lawrence, who's a health educator at Search, titled Being the Healthiest You. And Catherine's going to talk about the role of motivation plays in habit and how it's never too late to start working towards being the healthiest you. And so, ironically, caregivers, the things caregivers want seniors to do often are the very things caregivers don't do for themselves or to recognize that they also have needs. And so Catherine's going to help us and caregivers realize that these are some things we can do in a crazy busy schedule as caregivers and to help ourselves.
I do feel like there's a lot more talk about self-care these days for folks who do have demanding jobs or other responsibilities that take a lot out of them. So I think that'll be pretty well received, don't you think?
I think so. Self-care is, as we like to say, is probably one of the most talked about topics and least practiced. So it's a very big topic today. It's a buzzword, but yet it's still a very difficult thing to implement in our own lives. Often.
I don't have any trouble with it, but I'm sure other people do. Yeah. All right. And the second presentation, it's the fourth presentation.
The
second one you came to talk about today.
Yes. And so, and one reason I came back to remind folks, because it's spanning the whole month, November 28th, the Tuesday after, Holly Handler is an attorney at law with Alaska Legal Services. She's going to talk about advanced planning for elder care and why Medicaid matters. She's going to talk about options for financing long-term care for disabled adults. She's going to talk about the role of Medicaid and, you know, what people need to know before a crisis hits. This is really by popular demand. We put out surveys and folks really got back to us, let us know that we want to understand about higher levels of care, assisted living, how will we pay for it, what's Medicaid's role, issues like that. And so Holly's going to tackle that. She's an expert in this area and talks to folks about this all the time.
Does it matter if you missed the first two talks in the series?
Yes, you can't come at all. No, just joking. No, we want you to show up.
You got me there.
If you missed the first two, these do not build, and they're all different topics. So we'd love to have you at the next two or just one of the next two.
Great. Mm-hmm. And where can we find out more information?
Yep, you can call me directly or call the caregiver resource line at 463-6177, 463-6177, or email seniorinfo@ccsjuno.org, seniorinfo@ccsjuno.org. That email will most likely go to me as well, and we can help you. It is Tuesday, the 21st and 28th, from 1 o'clock to 2:30 p.m., and both of those presentations will be held at Valley Library. By the high school.
Right. So that's next Tuesday and the Tuesday after. They're free and open to the public. And I understand there will be light refreshments as well.
Yes, there'll be light refreshments. We'll have some snacks.
Very important, the snacks. All right, Ian. Well, thanks so much for being here today. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about while you're here?
No. If anyone that's listening is involved in any type of caregiving, if you are checking in on an elderly person, if you have a family member, who's deteriorating and you're concerned for them and wondering what the next steps are and looking for someone to help you, you can call that number, 463-6177, and we will be happy to have that talk with you. We even do house visits to talk as well. and we can have you come in. We got a number of ways that we can just start the conversation.
Well, it sounds like a great resource for the community. Thank you for doing what you do. I'm speaking with Ian Nico from Southeast Senior Services about the Family Caregiver Education Series next Tuesday and the Tuesday after, free and open to the public. Ian, thanks for being here today.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Hi, this is Sue Douglas. Are you interested in inspiring and informing future generations? A gift through your will or other estate planning to the KTOO Legacy Foundation is a wonderful way to ensure the future of public media. Find out more at ktoo.org/legacy or call the station at 586-1670. KTOO's Legacy Foundation, ensuring the future of public media in Juneau. Stepped out one morning. The ground to be his bed, the sky his awning.
You're tuned into a Juneau Afternoon. It is about 19 minutes after the hour. I'm Shelley Delaney, and here with me in the studio is James Hoagland and Roman Matika, here to talk about the ongoing Buddhist film series at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. Welcome to the show.
Thanks Shelley. Thanks for having us again.
Of course. We'll talk about the film and the series and the festival and all that. But first, I just kind of wanted to ask in general about Buddhism's place in our city of Juneau. How big is the Buddhist community? What can you tell me about it?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we are, Roman and I are involved in the Juneau Shambhala Center, which is just one part of the Buddhist community here. There are several Buddhist groups that we know of and get together with every now and then. So there are definitely people out there, and Juneau is a great place to practice Buddhism or get involved in a number of different kinds of Buddhist traditions. And the tradition that we practice with at the Juneau Shambhala Center is based in meditation. So we do a lot of programs around teaching meditation to people and practicing meditation. And the Film Fest is sort of an extension of our programs and it was an idea not just for the Buddhist community here in Juneau, but for everybody to come and experience a little bit about what Buddhism may have to offer.
Someone like me, maybe, who doesn't know that much about Buddhism in Juneau or the Shambhala Center. And it sounds like so far the film festival has been pretty successful. The first film was called Walk With Me. How well was it received?
Well, it was a sold-out crowd, to our surprise. Actually, I had to turn some people away, which is one of the reasons we've come back here to K2, is to let people know that we were able to do a second screening of Walk With Me. For those who missed it the first time, you'll have another opportunity, and that would be on Wednesday, November 29th at 7 p.m. at the same location, Gold Town Nickelodeon. So we're happy to be able to do this.
And what is that film about? Without getting too many spoilers.
Oh, it's an interesting film. It's very meditative and contemplative. It's like an insight to what life is like in the monastic community of Plum Village. And Plum Village is located in southern France near Bordeaux. And it was put together by Thich Nhat Hanh, who's quite revered and well-known in the Zen Buddhist circles and by all Buddhists. His books are bestsellers. So the film focuses very subtly on life in the monastery there, but also it segues over as people from outside come in to do retreats, week to month long retreats, and it follows their experience while they're at that monastery. And then they go to the United States and do some travels there. So it's a very meditative, contemplative film that I walked away. The imagery from the film was just fantastic. I can never pronounce his name right, but Benedict Cumberbatch. He does some of the narration.
I've heard of him, I think.
He does some of the narration, and beautifully done, too. So that's what that film is about.
Okay. And set in the south of France, it's probably sunny in the movie. And
it goes through the seasons, so there's winter scenes, fall, and spring seasons. So.
That's great. And what's the next film, and what is it about?
So the next film in our film fest itself is called Drupka, D-R-O-P-K-A. And that's a name for nomadic sheep and yak herders on the Tibetan Plateau. I just previewed it last night. It has some stunning photography in there and such an intimate close-up look at a way of life that's vanishing right now. The director, I'm not sure I'm going to pronounce her name correctly, Yan Shun Su, directed it, produced it, and edited on her own. She spent like a year or more with these people. And it's told from the viewpoint of the people themselves and some of the photography of the nomadic herders up there. Just fantastic. So I really enjoyed it. It's a very different kind of film from Walk With Me. But still the same. It has that kind of Buddhist flavor to it. But this is Tibetan Buddhism. But this is people that are actively working in the world. It's not a monastic community. These are people working in the world. And they've been hit by social and political and global forces. Climate change appears to be causing desertification of the grasslands. And it's causing them a lot of suffering because they're losing their way of life. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, sorry. And now, and I need to mention one other thing. We decided to switch out the third film in our series, which airs or screens on December 2nd, 4 p.m. on a Saturday. Originally, we had scheduled One Mind, which was also about a Zen monastery, but we decided we were able to get rights to a movie called The Last Dalai Lama? That's a movie that was just released, and we thought we'd bring that film in first for the community. Most people know who the Dalai Lama is, and he's revered across the entire world. So this focuses on him. He's 82 years old now, and he's aware that he's going to pass away soon. It's about that. about where his community is since he was forced into exile out of Tibet and all his people. I have not previewed the film, but I've seen the trailer from it. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful documentary about him. The movie we originally had scheduled, we're postponing it probably until after the holiday season, and the venue and the date will be announced later. We'll get it out to the community.
Well, they all sound like wonderful films, and they sound like they're pretty educational as well. So we've got on so the movie Drupka is this Friday, November 18th, is that right?
Saturday. Saturday, November 18th at 4 p.m.
Well, it'll be a good snowy day activity.
And just so people know, it's about an hour and 20 minutes long, so I know a lot of activity this time of year, so they should have enough time to meet whatever else is happening that evening, if they can still do the movie and do whatever else they can that Saturday evening.
And if folks want to know a little bit more about the center, they can also come upstairs right after the film and we'll have a little open house so people can learn about Shambhala, maybe do a little bit of a guided meditation and have some snacks and just enjoy the open house.
That's great. That sounds like it'll go wonderfully with the film, and it would be a good opportunity to visit the center if you haven't visited it before. For those who don't know, the theater and the center are all in the same building, all located downtown. Address is Franklin Street?
I believe it's 170 North Franklin Street, but it's the Emporia Mall.
Yes.
So Gold Town Nickelodeon is located on the ground level. We're just upstairs from there, right? And just I would say to people, I don't think this film will be sold out, but it's always good to come a little early to ensure yourself of a seat because we hate turning people away.
I like to get there early so I can get the couch. All right. So we've got Drupka playing this Saturday at 4 p.m., November 18th. We've got another screening of Walk With Me on the 29th at 7 p.m. And then The Last Dalai Lama is on December 2nd. And what else has the Shambhala Center got going on?
Well, on Friday, we have a great way to start off your weekend with a little happy hour meditation, and that's from 5 to 7 at the center. And we basically have done this a couple of times this fall, and it's been really fun. We've had full rooms, and folks come in, and they sit and do a guided meditation for just a little while, 15, 20 minutes. And then we head over to the community room and have some snacks and drinks and get to know each other. And it's also a really nice way to learn about the center if you've never been before or if you're curious about meditation. You don't have to have any experience, or you can be an experienced meditator and still find something there for you, for yourself. So we'd like to invite everyone to that as well.
Well, and can you tell us a little bit about what someone might experience if they participate in guided meditation?
Sure. It's a light, instructive process. So basically, everyone has a cushion or a variety of different styles of cushions or a chair. So we try to meet people's comfort and mobility needs. And once they're set up, then the meditation instructor will talk to them about, you know, what to do with their bodies, what to think about, what to not think about, you know, how to try to begin to focus the mind. It's a process, you know, and we all start at ground zero every time we sit down on a cushion. So it doesn't matter if you're if you've got a busy, hectic life and feel like you can't slow down, or you're someone who meditates for hours a day. It's all the same principle, and we all just sit down and we just try to get to know our minds a little bit better in that brief time. So
great. And yeah. How long is it? Is it 1 hour?
It's about 15, 20 minutes for the meditation segment. So it's, you know, manageable, and it's not too much if it's someone's first time. So again, it's just a good introduction, and there's lots more programs at the Shambhala Center if people want to continue.
That sounds really nice. And when is that happening again, this Friday?
This Friday from 5 to 7.
Fantastic.
This information is all available on our website, junoshambhala.org. It's all one word, junoshambhala.org. And I should say, if people want to pre-buy tickets for Jukpa, or any of the other films, they can go to Brown Paper Tickets. It's shambhala.bpt.me, and they can pre-purchase.
Oh, and how much are tickets?
Sliding scale, $10 to $20 donation is what we're asking. Students half price. We are bringing back Walk With Me, if you want to see all three in the series, that's $25 to $35 for a pass for the whole fest.
Fantastic. James Roman, thank you so much for being here today talking about Awakening on Film, the ongoing Buddhist film series at Goldtown Nickelodeon. The next film is Drupka this Saturday at 4 p.m. Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, thanks so much, Shelley, for having us.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Anytime.
Are you retired from the state of Alaska? Did you previously participate in the state's SHARE campaign in support of United Way and its partner agencies? Now that you're retired and not able to participate in the SHARE campaign, there's still a way to continue your support of United Way and their partner agencies. Visit UnitedWaySeak.org, click on Donate, and sign up for an automatic monthly contribution. Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. This message brought to you by the United Way.
You're tuned into a Juno Afternoon, and I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. My next guest is Bill Merck, here to talk to us about the upcoming Wushkanadei Poetry Slam this Friday. Welcome back to the show, Bill.
Thanks for having us back. Appreciate that.
Yeah, last time you were here, we talked about the Grand Slam. How did that go?
It was phenomenal. It was just fantastic. We had great poets, great performances. Jacob Picard, of course, was consistently awesome. He was amazing. It was actually so good that at the very end, the top two finalists both had perfect scores. They both had tens all the way across the board, and then we had to come up with a way to decide who was the winner. It was just amazing. It was very, very, very competitive, very moving, very, very. It lived up to what Wishkana Dayi should be. It was fantastic.
And who was crowned the winner?
Nuwaya Tagaban was the winner. So.
Well, congrats. And now you're here to talk about the first open mic poetry slam of the season. When does poetry season begin and end here?
Our grand slam, we hold our grand slam every October. And the grand slam is the event in which we invite all of our previous 12-month winners, those folks in the 12-month window, to come and compete against each other. So the new season officially starts in November. So this will be our first event of season 8.
And you have monthly events.
We do. We do. We typically have a poetry slam 1 month, an open mic a following month, and a writing workshop, and we rotate. We're changing our format this season. We're going back to our roots a little bit. When Wishkana.ie first started in 2010, we would have an open mic, take a break, and then have a competitive slam afterwards on the same evening. We're going back to that format starting this week. So what you'll find is that you'll have an open mic. I believe we're going to have 5 spots available, and then we will take a break, and then we'll have the competitive portion of the slam, and we'll have up to 8 slots available for that, and we'll just run through the routine.
Excellent. And is there any particular reason why you decided to revert back to that
format? I think the board just wanted to change things up a little bit. The format's been working. We have a new president now. We're making some changes to the structure of Wishkana.ie, and so we thought we would just, you know, change it up a little bit. So,
nothing wrong with that.
No.
When and where is this next event?
We're partnering with Wuchin. It's going to be at the Walter Sobolev Center downtown. We've been privileged to perform there, I can remember, at least twice, maybe 3 times there. Phenomenal facility, very wonderful acoustics, the spirit of the place, the whole aura of being in that building is very reverential. We love performing there.
I would be honored to perform there as well.
it's humbling to perform there. It really is.
It's a beautiful space. And this is an open mic as well as a poetry slam, so you'll be welcoming a variety of different performers?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. Who would you like to see come out?
Well, we have new voices that come out every month, it seems. Always encouraging new people to get up and now that we've changed the format a little bit, it might be a good opportunity for new folks to come out, look at an open mic, see what it is, look at a slam, see how that works, to kind of feel your way into your comfort zone, maybe get up and try an open mic, come back the next month, go to the slam, that kind of a thing. So always looking for new voices. I know we have some familiar voices who'll be there as well.
I think it's good to have a mix.
Yeah, we've been trying to grow our audience and grow our fan base for years, and I think we've been pretty successful at that.
I second that. Do you keep up with slam poetry on a national level? Are there any performers you'd recommend looking up if there's aspiring poets out there who need some inspiration?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. I don't follow it that much. I will go to Button Poetry, which is a nice place to go and see competitive slam performers. There are also events that you can find on Facebook where they'll post, you know, the top 2 or 3 performers at a various national event. And that's always great. There are lots of Facebook links and YouTube links out there too. So,
what is Button Poetry an online resource?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Cool.
You can find that. You can get to it through Facebook or just Google it and you'll find it.
Do you have any favorite new poets or not new poets, local or otherwise,
oh,
that you
gosh.
Think everyone should read?
Oh my gosh!
I know
gosh.
That's a hard question.
That's we could talk for a long time on that. Who am I reading currently? I'm working through a collection of W.S. Merwin, who is getting up there in years. He's in his 90s now. He's always been one of my favorites. Gosh, you know what? I read poetry where I can find it. I don't have any specific places that I go. I just look everywhere and find what I can, read what I can.
Cool. Yeah, I've got one I'm going to play when this interview is over. But first, let's recap the details of the event. The open mic and poetry slam Friday, correct?
Friday, yep. Oh, sign-ups at 6:30. Open mic will start at 7. We'll take a little break, and then we'll start with the slam around 7:30.
That sounds good, and that's taking place downtown. The Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, also the Walter Sobolev Building.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's on Seward Street, Seward and Front Street.
Seward and Front Street. Parking
there, for those who don't know.
Might be a little interesting. I don't know. We'll see. It can be hit or miss. We'll see.
Well, the garages and everything are free after 4 p.m.
Correct. Correct. There's always that. And,
yeah.
And there won't be food available at the event, but there are lots of restaurants that should still be open at that time. So.
Of course. Yeah. Plenty of local eateries all around
that
area.
Come early, get a cup of hot coffee, and just relax and sit down. We will have our merchandise available. Our new Season 8 shirts are available. We'll have some books for sale, some artwork for sale. So there's always something out there to pique your interest and keep you busy between events. So,
well, thanks for coming back again, Bill, and telling us about all this. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Anything else you want to promote while you're
no,
here?
No, it's going to be a cold, snowy night. It'd be a great place for people to gather. The hosts will be Austin Tagaban and Erica Berggren, both on the board. Like I said, we have Christy Nami Erickson. This will be her final event with Wishkanadeyi. The founder is retiring. She's moving on to focus more on her work. She's still going to be involved on the periphery with Wishkanadeyi, but we'll be announcing who our new president is on Friday, and there might be some other changes that we'll put up in front of people. So,
intriguing.
Set the hook, right?
Yeah. Well, change is constant.
Right, yep.
All right, thanks again for being here. I do have a poem I'd like to play for everyone. It's not Garrison Keillor. This is by Worsaw Shire, and it's called For Women Who Are Difficult to Love.
Right. Thank you.
For women who are difficult to love. You are a horse running alone, and he tries to tame you, compares you to an impossible highway, to a burning house, says you are blinding him, that he could never leave you, forget you, want anything but you. You dizzy him, you are unbearable. Every woman before or after you is doused in your name. You fill his mouth, his teeth ache with the memory of taste, his body just a long shadow seeking yours, but you are always too intense, frightening in the way that you want him, unashamed and sacrificial. He tells you that no man can live up to the one who lives in your head, and you try to change. Didn't you? Close your mouth more. Try to be softer, prettier, less volatile, less awake. But even when sleeping, you could feel him traveling away from you in his dreams. So, what did you want to do, love? Split his head open. You can't make homes out of human beings. Someone should have already told you that. And if he wants to leave, then let him leave. You are terrifying and strange and beautiful. Something not everyone knows how to love.
You're tuned into a Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. We just heard a poem from Worsaw Shire called For Women Who Are Difficult to Love. And now we're transitioning from poetry into books. My next guest here in the studio with me is Brenda Weaver from Hearthside. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
You're welcome. So you're here today to talk about your annual holiday event, but first I want to talk books, if we may. I was just curious, what were some of the bestsellers of 2017?
To the Bright Edge of the World, of course, by our own Eowyn Ivey, Alaska's own, I shouldn't say.
She wrote The Snow Child?
She wrote The Snow Child, but she wrote To the Bright Edge of the World. And the bestseller for us overall time, believe it or not, are anything to do with Ernestine Hayes or Sarah Asper Smith's I Would Tuck You In.
I'm actually not too surprised about either of those. And I Would Tuck You In as a classic, as are the books by Ernestine Hayes. That's great. I'm so happy to hear that local artists or local authors are the top sellers.
And they're huge with the guests and the tourists that come through town, too. They're just very easy for them to look at and pick up. And a hand sell is so easy.
I've personally bought multiple copies of I Would Tuck You In. And have you ever seen A Smack of Jellyfish for the youngsters in my family?
She and Mitch are going to be part of our gallery walk this year, so that's going to be
fantastic. Well, that's great. And is there anything that any personal favorites? What are you currently reading?
I just got through Kristen Hannah's The Great Alone. It's coming out in February, I believe. And she wrote The Nightingale, which is a national bestseller, and that's coming out in a movie as well. But The Great Alone is set in Alaska. And so I got a chance to pre-read that, and we're trying to get her to Juneau because it would be a shame to have an author like that write about Alaska and never show up in Alaska.
I'm a little starstruck right now. I loved The Nightingale. I was reading a bunch of like World War II novels all kind of back to back, the All the Light We Cannot See and The Nightingale and a number of others, but that one really stood out. So
The Great Alone really stands out too. It takes place in the 1970s in Alaska.
It would be such an honor if she came here, and I would love to meet her.
Yeah.
All right. So now that we got everyone in the mood to read, let's talk about Hearthside Books' upcoming event. What is it and when is it happening?
Well, it is our 10th annual holiday event, and we like to celebrate our local authors. And speaking of poetry, we have Miriam Wagner, who just came out with her book. She's a local poet. And Peggy Barnhill, a.k.a. Greta McKinnon, who wrote a cozy mystery. And she has a new one coming out in December. And we also have Joe Carson, who wrote 19 Unicorns. It's a series of short stories. And they will be at the store signing from 1 to 3. But throughout the day, we start with hot chocolate and cookies. There's food, fun, festivities, drawings, giveaways, sip and shop from 5 to 6. So that'll be fun, too. It just goes all day long. And we're also launching a subscription service called A Year in Alaska, which is going to be a blast. I think it's going to be...
Can you say more about it?
Sure. It is a one-year subscription, and you get... It's going to be $250, and it's an over $300 value, where you can buy them for to be shipped outside to, you know, so the gift that keeps giving all year long, sort of like the fruit baskets and things like that.
Book of the
month,
sort of.
But these are recently published or new Alaska titles, and so there will be three per box, I believe. Yeah, three per box, and they're shipped quarterly. And there'll be a note card, an art card in there, and the last one also includes an Alaskan calendar.
I feel like that's going to be a really popular gift idea.
We thought it would be a great idea. I mean, it's so easy. You just send a card and say, this is what you get, and you get it all year long, and it's a mix of poetry, fiction, nonfiction, a little bit of everything.
Well, if there's anybody out there listening who wonders what Shelley wants for Christmas, that would be on my list. That sounds like a great idea. All right. And what else would you like to talk about today?
The holiday event also highlights the Pacific Northwest booksellers' best of the best picks. The catalog that came out in the newspaper and that you can pick up at the stores has books who have been kind of juried through booksellers of the Pacific Northwest and through... the association itself. And so they've gone through and they've picked what they feel are the best published books in the past year or so. And that comes out in the catalog. And during our holiday event, we feature those for 20% off the cover price.
Fantastic. And that catalog you've brought in that you're holding in your hand there is it's pretty awesome. And as you mentioned, you can pick that up in the store and it came out in the newspaper. It's also available online. I scrolled through it, and the website is fantastic. You can flip through the catalog. You can scroll down the list of books. You can click on the books to find out more about them. I probably added like 5 more to my reading list, so I really enjoyed that.
Well, if you can't make it in, you can always go online and order them too that day.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Lizzie's worked really hard on the website, and so we're taking all comments and any ideas to make it even more interactive and more customer friendly.
Yeah, well, great job so far, Lizzie. Okay, one more time, when and where is the annual holiday event happening?
The holiday event is this Saturday, the 18th, from 10 until 6 at the Nugget Mall store. Primarily, we will have the books available downtown as well at the downtown store, and we'll have some food and treats down there. But because of space limitations, we're going to keep the authors at the Nugget Mall.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for being here today, Brenda. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Just come by and check out what we have and check out the books and toys.
I would love to. Well, thanks again, Brenda.
Thank you.
You're tuned into a Juno Afternoon. It's about 9 minutes to the top of the hour. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and with me is Emily McDaniel from Eagle Crest. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure, you're welcome. Tell me what you do at Eagle Crest.
Yeah, I am the marketing and events coordinator up the hill. So I do all sorts of everything, all the social media, taking pictures, getting out on the mountain and meeting people and doing stuff like this.
Best job ever, huh?
I know, it's been so fun.
Doing stuff like this. So you're here today to talk about the screening of Warren Miller's most recent movie, Line of Descent, which we are screening this weekend, yes?
Yes, we have two showings going on this Saturday at the Hangar Ballroom. We have a 4 o'clock and a 7 o'clock showing. We're selling tickets online, and we're selling tickets at the door. And for every ticket you buy, you get a free midweek lift ticket. So we're really pushing to get people to come get excited.
Wow, that's a screaming deal.
I know.
Oh, I'm glad you told everybody about it. I'm glad I showed up today.
Yeah.
How would you describe a Warren Miller movie for someone who's never seen one before? Who is Warren Miller?
Warren Miller is just the ultimate ski bum, in my opinion.
King of the ski bums.
Exactly. Yeah, and the Warren Miller movie is such a tradition here in Juneau, and we've done it every year. And I have family that grew up here, and they have fond memories of going to the Warren Miller movie, you know, when they were 10 and 12 and enjoying the sights and just getting excited. So it's just a movie of skiing and getting out on the mountain and cool stories, and they take you all over the world to see skiing and just cool places and get excited for getting yourself out on the snow and enjoying it.
Yeah, well, I don't think you'll have too much trouble hyping people up about skiing.
No, it helps when there's snow on the ground.
And there is snow in the forecast.
There is. Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
I think so. Tomorrow we'll have a more updated forecast, but it looks like 100% chance of snow on Friday. It starts on Thursday night. 100% chance of snow Friday night and snow on Saturday, too.
That is such good news. And we are currently making snow because it is cold enough to be making a little bit of snow ourselves. So hopefully if we get a good mixture of handmade and homemade snow, we'll see what we get.
No promises, but
I know, but it's looking good.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think everybody's going to be pretty stoked by Sunday. All right. So I understand this film, which is called Line of Descent, is his 68th film. So is that correct?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. As you said, long history of Warren Miller films, and especially this weekend. So again, it's showing twice this weekend, on Saturday at 4 p.m. and at 7 p.m. at the Hangar Ballroom. Tickets are available in advance, and you get a little bonus with your ticket.
You do, yeah. And you can learn more at skijuno.com and find us on Facebook and Instagram and everything to get more information and stay up to date with all that stuff.
And speaking of the website, I believe I read that proceeds go to the Eagle Crest Foundation?
They do,
and
yes.
And how do they use the money?
The Eagle Crest Foundation is a great opportunity to get the community connected with Eagle Crest. So the Eagle Crest Foundation sponsors things like the Books to Boards program, which is a really great opportunity for middle school and high school students to get out on the mountain. It pays for lessons and gear and their time and getting up on the mountain and, you know, transportation. So stuff like that to really connect the community and maybe people who wouldn't necessarily be connected up there on the mountain and enjoying themselves. So it's a great cause, and it's a really great community-run situation.
And I don't want to put you on the spot or anything, but do you have any information about the proposed cabin on Lake Cropley?
You know, I don't. It is in the works. I know that they're talking about it. I haven't gotten any official news as of right now, but I know it's definitely being talked about. You know, being a community-run area, we're doing the best we can to just connect with everyone and get cool stuff going on, but it takes a little bit of time, and we'll see what we get, and they're definitely talking about it and working on it.
Of course, and you're always welcome to come back to a Juno Afternoon every week to let us know what's going on. Free interviews.
Yay!
Every week for Eagle Crest.
Wonderful.
Well, thanks for being here today, Emily. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
Not really. I think just, you know, get ready for a cool season. Find us online and just get connected with us before the season starts, and then come join us on the snow. And if you haven't learned how to ski or snowboard, then come do that. And if you're a longstanding season pass holder, then just come say hi and, you know, come get out on the mountain. That's all we really want.
Yep. Eagle Crest is great. It's a great place to learn, great place to play. Juno's winter playground.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming in for the weekly update. I'm sure we'll hear back from you guys again next week, and hopefully we'll be skiing by then.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon today. On tomorrow, we'll talk with Tom McKenna about the JDHS hockey team. Sally Schlichting will be here to highlight the Colmbrio concert, Love is the Last of the Light. And Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up, plus much, much more. Scott Burton hosts. And thanks to all my guests who were here today. We had Ian Nico from Southeast Senior Services. We had Roman and James from the Shambhala Center talking about the Buddhist film series. And Bill Merck from Woosh Kinadei about the Poetry Slam this Friday. Brenda, Hearthside Books, annual event happening this Saturday at the bookstores. And Emily McDaniel with our Eagle Crest update. Jeff Brown is the producer. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. This has been a Juno Afternoon. Until tomorrow, have a great Juno evening.